So the Bible stands, we're going to be looking at that tonight, we're going to be thinking along the lines of, we need the Bible to be our foundation. Okay, so we're just going to have a look at a few things. We're going to look at heaps of different verses tonight. So many different verses, you're going to have trouble keeping up. He asked me for a sneak peek in my passage tonight, and I said there isn't a passage that we're looking at tonight. We're just going to look at lots of different verses tonight. But we're going to just be thinking along the lines of we need to trust the Bible and believe what the Bible says completely. Because if we don't really believe what the Bible says, then how can we really trust the Lord? How can we really trust the Bible? I mean, some of the things that are happening in the world today, the Bible talks about. And a lot of Christians are taking things on and rejecting what the Bible says and saying the Bible doesn't really say that. Now, the Bible doesn't really say that. Who does that sound like? Yeah. Yea hath God said. Sounds a bit cunning, doesn't it? Let's pray before we start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that we can hold on to them. We thank you, Lord, that you do not change. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you and trust your word. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to jump around and have a look at a whole lot of verses. Maybe we probably won't get to all of them, but we've got a few that we're going to look at. But there's a few things, and not a few things, there is a lot of things that people don't believe. They think the Bible is out of date, it's old, it's not worth anything, it's not worth reading. I mean, unsaved people just couldn't care less about the Bible. Well, that's on them, isn't it? But as Christians, how should we take the Bible? Should we defend the Bible? Should we know the Bible? Should we trust the Bible? Should we believe the Bible? I mean, seriously, you mean to tell me that you believe that a guy got thrown out of a boat and got swallowed by a fish for 3 days? You really believe that? Yeah? 600-year-old guy building a boat? Really? You believe that? Well, do you? Would you defend it? Would you be able to defend it? Would you be able to counter some of these arguments? What about a guy who rose again from the dead? You really believe that? Do you? Do you really? Well, you all say yes, so I hope you really do. Okay, so we're just going to, you know, just a few things that people don't believe in, you know. They don't believe in Jonah. They don't believe in a resurrection. They don't believe, even Christians, okay. Now we're moving away from unsaved people. We're moving towards Christians, okay. So tonight's going to be focused on us. And a lot of Christians don't believe actually what the Bible says. And we know that because they go, Genesis, that's not real. 6 days. I mean, that's ridiculous. You need way more time. Yeah, Christians say that, don't they? The gap theory, long ages, theistic evolution, all of these things. What about a local flood? It wasn't a global flood, it was just a local flood. A big global flood, well, I mean, that's pretty impossible. And I don't know, like it says, the whole world was covered in water and Mount Everest is pretty tall. I don't know how the water got all the way out there. Noah probably got altitude sickness. You have heard that, haven't you? You haven't heard that? Well, if Mount Everest was underwater, then obviously Noah was 8,000 meters above sea level, so he would have had altitude sickness and all the animals would have died. Hey? Wow, that's true. He's only a couple meters above sea level. Yeah, well, that's a pretty dumb argument there, isn't it, you know? The millennium, amillennialists, they don't believe in a millennium. That is very clearly put in the Bible, in Revelation. I actually know of Christians. I know of a man who is a Christian. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I definitely believe you can become unfruitful, as we talked about in your spiritual life. He was a Christian. He was a fundamental Baptist Christian working on being a pastor many, many years ago. Now, today, doesn't believe in hell. How do you get to that point? How do you get there? Well, there's no point being a Christian if there's no hell. What's the point? What are we getting saved from? Got nothing. The devil. I was in a church many, many years ago and they said something along the lines of, the devil isn't in Australia. Sarah was there. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, read Job, you know. God calls all the angels and the sons, and he says to the devil, where have you been? And God says to Satan, where have you been? And what does Satan say? He says, I've been walking around. I've been in the earth. I've been trekking around all over the place. Clearly, people aren't reading their Bibles. And people aren't believing their Bibles. People read it, but they don't believe it. And that's a problem. And we're just going to look at a few things about what Jesus said. And it's really interesting that people pick on Jonah and go, well, that's impossible. Well, it is pretty, like a really crazy story. And when you read that story, I love reading it thinking that Jonah didn't actually know he was going to survive. That's an interesting point. But do you know what Jesus said? Even Jesus recognized Jonah and Noah as real historical figures. And then so if Jonah's not true, or Noah wasn't real or true, and Jesus says it was, then Jesus is a liar. So then everything's gone. Everything is gone. If we can't trust it just in one point. And if there's some parts of the Bible that aren't true, and you would have heard this, and if you haven't, stay away from it. It's good that you haven't heard it. But people do say some parts of the Bible you can believe, some parts of it you can't. Who's to say what parts you can and can't believe? Do I get to tell you that? Where does that come from? Where does that come from? We need to trust the entire Word of God, and we need to be able to use it as our foundation, because it is our foundation. Our foundation, we are founded on the Word of God. I plant my feet. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted. Let's just have a look at a few verses now. I think I prayed. We'll just look into God's Word if I haven't. And let's just have a look. I have so many verses. I should just start at the top of the list, shouldn't I? Which is actually back at the start. So let's just have a look here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We'll start in Matthew chapter 4 and we'll go to the Old Testament. We'll go back to the New Testament. But I want you to think about the Old Testament first from a New Testament point of view. You see, the Old Testament books, particularly Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Have you ever read them? Ooh, they're hard to get through, aren't they? But do you know what? They are part of God's Word. And look at what it says here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We're not going to read the passage. We're just going to look at a few verses. If you don't know the passage, Jesus is in the wilderness. The Satan is there and he's tempting him. And he tempts him with these temptations. Turn this into bread. Jump off the building. I'll give you all of this stuff. And verse 4, Jesus answers and says, it is written. It is written. And he is quoting from Deuteronomy. And we go, oh, Deuteronomy. But actually, Deuteronomy is really, really interesting. I've come to really appreciate those books. And Leviticus. Deuteronomy at chapter 8, he's actually quoting that. Jump down to verse 7, Satan tempts him again. And what does Jesus say? He replies with the word of God. He replies with, it is written. And he doesn't have the whole Bible like we do. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Jesus didn't go, hey, let's look at 1 Peter here and have a look at this. He didn't get to do that. He was quoting the Old Testament every time. Three times he does it, jump down to verse 10. He says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All of these come from Deuteronomy, the law. The law and the prophets, as it's referred to in the New Testament as well. The law. So the Bible is important. And I believe that if it was good enough for Jesus to use, then I reckon we can use it too. And Jesus used it in a mighty way. You know, it talks about our weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare. He used the Word of God against the devil. And then when he did that, the devil fled away. He ran away. He left him. And the Bible tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to you in James and resist the devil and he will flee from you and all of these things. And we need to do that with the Word of God. And we need to be able to trust the Word of God. So that's the starting point. If Jesus could use it, then we could use it too. So let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to Psalm 19. Back to my last sermon where I was in. Psalm 19, I told you I was going to do a series. I just started a few weeks ago and it's just going to be in between whenever you get one. But we're not going to look at all of it, but we're going to look at God's Word and what does the Bible actually say about the Word of God. We looked at these verses. We're not going to go into them too much, but verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 19, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Remember I told you, we pointed out, we've got the name of the Word, we have the characteristics of the Word, and we have the benefits of the Word. We've got the 3 points coming down in here. And then it says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And there is no mistaking whose these are. 6 times. If I had one hand, that would be 6. 6 times it says, "of the Lord." Of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord. It's not even of Moses. It's of the Lord. This comes from the Lord. Let's jump back to Exodus chapter 20. I love Exodus chapter 20. And when you actually really teach on this and you just think people actually know it, a lot of people go, "I actually never knew that." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying..." Everyone goes, "Moses went up the mountain and came back down and gave him the tablets." But there's more to it than that. God spoke. He said, "Get the people ready." All of chapter 19 is preparation for the people to hear the Lord. They're at the bottom of the mount. They've consecrated themselves. They've washed their clothes. They're all clean. They're ready to go. They're at the bottom of the mountain. And imagine that mountain, thundering and lightning and the cloud and shaking and the smoke and the trumpets and everything like this. Moses actually isn't up there. And it says, "And the Lord spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." I'm not going to read through all of this because that's not what we're looking at. But jump down to verse 18. So God goes through the Ten Commandments. He's speaking it to the people at the bottom of the mountain after they just came out of Egypt in such a way there is no denying it. And they're at the bottom of the mountain and God speaks to them. And how they respond, look at verse 18, it says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." I can't handle this. "Moses, you go. We'll listen. You go up, and whatever God says, you tell us, we will listen to you." They were terrified. What an experience. And then we always go, "You stupid Israelites." And then you turn around and, now we all do it. We can't blame the Israelites. But it's God's word. It wasn't even Moses' word. It came straight from God. And then Moses goes up. Look at Moses' response here. I like this verse 20. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you." He's testing you. That his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. Imagine being Moses. I'm sure he probably was somewhat afraid. I don't know, I would be. Okay, guys, I'll go and see God, you know. And, you know, and he went and saw God, spoke with him as a friend and all these things. But it came from God. It was God's word. And that's what Jesus used to defeat the devil. That's what Jesus used in Matthew chapter 4 to defeat the devil. That's how powerful God's word is. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, if I haven't get my point, I'll tell you what it is. My point is that we need to make the word of the Lord our foundation. So if I get sidetracked, that was the point I was supposed to make, okay? God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 105, a very well-known verse. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We need God's word to guide us. It gives us direction. It shows us where to go. It shows us how to be saved, doesn't it? It makes us wise unto salvation. It shows us what God's will is, what he wants us to do, what he doesn't want us to do. And jump back in this same chapter up to verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I like that verse. It's not going to change. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Oh, he's just going back to creation there, isn't it? Genesis chapter 1, Genesis isn't true. It's not factual. Well, David is writing here saying it is. And Jesus says that Noah is real, and Jesus says that Jonah is real, and Jesus is the son of David, and David is referring back to creation, then well, must be true. Must be true. It says, "They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants." It's all in the Lord's control. He's got it all under control. "But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's not going to change. It doesn't change. "I am the Lord and I change not," he says. What's that? I think it's Malachi or something. He says it to the Israelites. It's about his promises. It's why you're not consumed, because I made a promise and I'm not going back on it. But God's word is faithful. We need to stand. If we don't stand on it, we will become like Ephesians. I think it's, we'll look at that one later anyway. We'll get there behind. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. So we're looking at some New Testament verses as well as Old Testament. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's go back to let's just read verse 16. It says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Holding forth the word of life. The word of life. We have this word. And do you know what? Go back to John chapter 1. We got heaps we can talk about here that we don't have time for everything. John chapter 1, a little bit of a side note here. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Hey, Jesus came down and dwelt among us. He created everything. He made everything. He was there in the beginning. You know, I love in Job, you know, the Bible is actually a historical book and can be taught as history. It is a scientific book. If you don't believe me, read the book of Job. I love that. You know, God just goes, "Job, were you there when I measured that out? Job, were you there when I stretched out the heavens? Job, do you reckon you can go and catch that dinosaur?" Because what does the Bible say about dinosaurs and fossils, eh? What do Christians say? Do you know, I heard a Christian once say that God put dinosaurs in the earth just to confuse us. Are you serious? Just to give us something to do. To wonder about, I suppose. I don't know. Well, look at Leviathan and Behemoth. Come on, guys. So Jesus was there. And he's saying, "Look at this creation that I've done." Anyway, that's a side one. "So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." We can trust the Word of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. All right, you've got to be really quick. We're running out of time. And I'm about to finish. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses. You ready to go? You need a finger in every book of the Bible. Okay? Yeah. You can do it. Ready? Hebrews chapter 1. God who is... So actually, let's not do that verse because there's a better verse later. We'll come back to it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 first. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll come back to Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Love that verse. We need to pay more attention to these things that we've heard. Oh, I heard someone teach on that once, but it was so long ago I can't remember what they said. "Believe in evolution." Oh, okay. You know, I got saved when I was a little kid. I'm not saying this to just say that I'm really good or anything like this. But I legitimately thought that all Christians believed the Bible. That was my mistake, wasn't it? I legitimately thought that Christians believed the Bible. And that was just a... I was saved, I went to church, we get taught the Bible, Christians go to church, they get taught the Bible. Why would you think any different? But they don't. I'm just going to break it to you. Just because they say they're a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that they are. We need to hold on to these things. We need to study these things. We need to be a Berean Christian and check whether these things are so. Don't just listen to me. See what the Bible actually it says. And verse 2, it says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward..." That means, like, remember the Old Testament days, because this is, you know, just after the Old Testament. And there's a good story in the book of Luke, and there was an old guy, his name's Zechariah, I think. He hasn't had any babies, and he's like 127 years old. I don't know how old he is, but he's really old. And you know what happens? He's working in the temple, just thinking about what an angel can do to you if you disobey it. And then he says, "You're going to have a baby." And he goes, "How?" And he goes, "That's it, you're not talking anymore until the baby's born." You know that story in Luke? So that means for however long he couldn't talk, his wife gets pregnant, 9 months later, he has a baby, they're about to name the baby, he says, "His name is John. Oh, praise the Lord, I can talk now." And that was just because he questioned an angel. So verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Bearing God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." That's a severe problem. That's a scary thought. And we get discouraged sometimes, and we witness to people and they don't get saved. And I've thought many times that not everyone that Jesus witnessed to got saved. That rich man, he went away sorrowful. The lepers, we assume that they didn't all get saved. You know, where were the nine? You know, that kind of thing. Imagine the accountability that they're going to have, because they were faced with the Lord himself. You know, Thomas didn't believe. And Jesus came back and says, "Thomas, oi, look at my fingers, look at my side. You know, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who believe and haven't seen me." Wow, imagine that. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." That's a good passage, everyone, that you can use for people who said, "I have a dream." "Oh, I don't believe your dream, so be quiet, I don't want to hear it." Because this is what the Bible says. Okay? "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." We have the written word of God. Let's go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 21, sorry, we're looking at the John. We're looking at the credibility of the Word of God, the reliability of the Word of God, the accuracy of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. It is 100% reliable. It is accurate. It doesn't change. It is settled forever in heaven. And the people who wrote it were his disciples. And look at John chapter 21, because that's part of the problem. You hear a bit of news and you're like, "Where did that come from?" Facebook. Delete it. And the app. Come on, I dare you all. But look at what John wrote. John was there. John was there. He was there. Imagine it. Imagine being with Jesus for 3 years. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but we've got nothing really compared to the whole ministry of Jesus. We have the Sermon on the Mount. You study the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, so good. There's so much in there. But that's like three. If you read the Sermon on the Mount out loud, it goes for like 4 minutes. I reckon Jesus spoke for like a day. Where's the rest of it? What did he say? What about the road to Emmaus? Who doesn't want to know how the Old Testament pertains to himself? Well, I do. Not anybody else, obviously. And so John was there for all of the ministry, not on the road to Emmaus, he missed out on that one, but he was there for all of these years. And if we look at verse, I don't know, where is it, 24, the last couple of verses of the chapter says, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things." And we know his testimony is true. He's saying that about himself. He says, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that every, even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Oh, man. Go over to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Get those fingers working. Sword drill. You'll beat me. I don't have bookmarks, by the way. So it could be a race. I beat Chris. John chapter 1. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John 1, 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, that we have heard." He was there. He heard these things. "That which we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked upon and our hands have handled." You know, he was reclining on Jesus. He was there. I reckon that it probably wasn't only Thomas who went and shoved his hand up in Jesus' side. I don't know. I would be as well. Like, "Jesus, wow." Like, handling, this is God's word. They're giving him food. He was there. He was really there. He handled these things. He's seen it. He'd heard it of the word of life. He saw it all. "I was there. I am writing these things down." Turn over to chapter 5, verse 13. This is a great verse for assurance of salvation. That's another thing that Christians, you don't really know if you're saved or not. You can't really know. God will judge in the end. Well, that's a bit of a load of baloney too. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. This is John, he's still writing. After he said, "I've seen these things, I handled, I heard it," he said, "These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You can believe these things. You can believe these things. You know, they were not afraid after Jesus was... You think of the book of Acts and the things that they went through and the things that they did. They wouldn't have done that for nothing. They wouldn't have gone to prison. They wouldn't have been beaten. They wouldn't have gone through all of these things if it wasn't true. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. And if you can trust Jesus, then you can trust what he says about Noah. Well, in Matthew chapter 19, he also talks about, here's another one that Christians don't believe in, that the Bible talks about. It's a very scientific book, this Bible. It even talks about gender. Male and female created he them. Very scientific book, very deep. Didn't do 14 years of night school to come up with that one. I tell you, long time. A lot of Christians don't even believe that. But even Jesus mentions it in Matthew. So if Jesus said it, it must be true. And if you don't, if you're not careful for these things that you've heard, they're going to slip. They're going to slip. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and it lines up with Hebrews chapter 2. We need to hold on to these things so that they don't slip. We don't forget. We don't remember half of what it was talking about, because then this happens. It says, verse 14, it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Yea, hath God said. Does the Bible say? Does the Bible say? Well, if you're using a CEV or something like this, it could say whatever you want it to say. So be careful, please. But yeah, the Bible does say. And how much do you trust it? Do you look at the world through the Bible? Or do you look at the Bible through the world? Because if you look at the world through the Bible, you go, "Mm-mm. Nah. Yeah, no, I don't believe that one. Every slight, that word slight means to defraud. Actually, when I looked it up, I was talking about dice and gambling. And cheating the opponents in dice. Cunning, sneaky, cheating devil that says, yea, hath God said, and starts the doubt. And the Bible tells us that we're not to be like children. I'm not saying children are bad. The Bible isn't saying that either. But your thinking needs to be mature. When I was a child, I thought as a child, and I spake as a child, and I behaved like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Don't be like children. And you see it. You see it at the workplace. When I used to work, and those guys, they were just... And you will see it. It's a different story every week. It's just totally, it's ridiculous. Read verse 14 again. Let's just finish up on this one. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The devil is our enemy, and he's deceiving the world and everybody in it. What does it say? Corinthians, he has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they see the gospel. He doesn't want people to believe. He hates God and he hates people. He's our enemy. Oh, that's what the Bible says. Oh, no. Some Christians don't even believe you're in a spiritual battle either. Wow, I've spoken to some people about that before too. All right? So God's word is 100% completely reliable, and we need to believe what it says. Not what I say. What it says. Because the Bible stands. And you can't destroy it. They've tried destroying it. They've tried killing everyone. They've tried burning every copy. They've tried doing all of these things. The Word of God. God. You just can't beat God. Right? You just got no chance. Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that we can trust it, that we can depend on it, that we know that it's true, and that everything it says is true, Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we just pray that you give us wisdom and guide us and help us to depend on your word and help us to study it and to know what it says, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.